Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
So this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. And kind of my main verse that I'm using this morning is verse 7, and my title of the message is Ask, Seek, and Knock. This verse can be used in many different ways because it's just God talking to us about asking Him, seeking Him, and knocking, and having the door to be open to you. But before we do that, obviously there's some crazy things coming up. Doug Clay, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, okay, which we are a part of, he sent us an email talking about the election that's coming up, right? This is coming up Tuesday. I mean, we're on the brink of election. Some of you may have voted early already, and if you haven't, you can actually still register to vote. If you haven't, you can register to vote the day of. You can do it on Tuesday and still vote on Tuesday. You just got to do it in person, okay? So you might have to leave work early. But this is what he shared with us, and I want to be able to share this with you guys because it's powerful, and it's going to give you kind of some insight on what a lot of leaders are thinking and seeing of what's going to happen possibly after this election. Here's what he says. It says, next week, voters will select a president of the United States of America for the 59th time. This is our privilege and responsibility as citizens. We may or not know the outcome by Tuesday evening. We can assume that regardless of who wins, there will be angst, unrest, contesting, and demonstrations. All our Assemblies of God churches and ministers should know that. Whatever the outcome of the election, the mission of our church remains these four points: evangelism, worship, discipleship, and compassion. When our president takes office, he and this country need a healthy church. A divided nation is discouraged, but a divided church is devastating. So I'm calling on Assemblies of God churches and ministers to engage in intercession for our country. You see, the Bible instructs us to pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 5:17. Exhort us to never stop praying and to be thankful in all circumstances. This is a powerful invitation to continually be praying with an attitude of thanksgiving despite circumstances. It is about trusting and believing that God is sovereign, God is in control. He is in control of the universe, our nation, of our families, of our very lives, and of election outcomes. He's the one in charge, regardless of who holds the governing seat in any nation. Our Lord taught us to pray for God's will to be done on earth, in our country, as it is in heaven. Though His will is not always done on earth, He is still ultimately in control, regardless of election outcomes. Some people place their trust in the abilities, knowledge, or possessions. Remember that our Lord is ultimately in control. Thus, we put our trust in the name of the Lord our God, Psalms 20, verse 7. Can you guys stand with me this morning? Can we just take a minute and let's pray for our nation? Let's pray for this election. Let's do that. Let's do that together this morning. Just go ahead and just lift your voices to the Lord. Just pray in your own prayer as well. Lord, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for that You are sovereign, that You are holy, that You are in control. And so right now, Lord, we lift up our nation. We lift up this election to You. You already know who the president's going to be. And right now, Lord, we lift whoever that person is going to be up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that You would strengthen that person. Lord, that You'd speak into that life of that person and that person's family to be able to lead this country in the way that You need it to go. Give us wisdom. Give us guidance. Give us strength. And no matter whatever the outcome is, Lord, that Your church would be healthy across this nation, that we would not be divided, but that we would be together, but that we would be of one mind and of one spirit, of the Holy Spirit, that You would lavish us, You would give us strength, and You would give us knowledge to be able to talk to those who are upset, for those who are angry during this time, for whatever the election outcome might be, Lord, knowing that we can continue to help this nation as Your church. Lord, bring us to that place. Lord, may cool heads prevail. Keep us civil and give us peace right now during this time. That when we wake up on Wednesday morning, if we don't already know, Lord, that there would be peace inside the church. Peace in Your church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So I'm going to go ahead and just start off in the Word this morning. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7, going all the way through verse 12. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." You know, in most Bibles, that last verse there, they actually call that the golden rule, something that they've used in schools for like forever. Never actually knew it was in the Bible until I was like a sophomore or something. I'm like, oh, wow, that's even better. By asking, seeking, and knocking, it's a little different. We all know how to ask for things. It's generally pretty easy for most of us, especially nowadays. Okay, if you are someone who's not very social, you can send a text. You can ask for help, right? You can go ask the internet, and you can ask technically nobody. You've got all these different ways. You can give a phone call. You don't have to do it face-to-face. Even then, phone calls are still hard for some people. But then when you get to seeking, it's a little different. It requires a little more work, a little more effort. Knocking requires even further effort because it generally requires you to get out of your house, requires you to go somewhere else. It requires you to travel and knock on someone else's door that is not your own and ask for that door to be open, to ask for that kind of help, whatever it may be. And something that I want us to begin to ask for this morning, tomorrow, and Tuesday as we go on is wisdom. That's my point number one for you this morning is pray for wisdom. Some people, this isn't a normal daily prayer for them. This is totally a daily prayer for me. Because as many of you would call me, I'm a youngin', right? I'm not even 30 yet. I'm 29, okay? I'm a youngin' to some of you guys, as my grandpa would call me. Or, oh, you're still young. He'll still beat me in lifting weights, probably. That's just my grandpa. But I need wisdom. I need wisdom in my life. I need godly wisdom. I need wisdom beyond my years to understand things that I normally wouldn't be able to understand. And this is how we get wisdom. It's so simple. And I never understood this as a kid. It's James chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." That's amazing. Generously. Ooh. I ask for that daily because I need it generously daily. With how fast this world changes, how fast technology changes, I can just remember where things were at in 2010 when I just graduated high school. There's been a big change since then. It's been a lot of changes. Here's another verse for you guys. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. If I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you.' The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and a present you and present you with a glorious crown." I love that. I used to read that when I first got saved when I was a freshman, and I never understood it. Okay, I'm just going to tell you right now. I didn't understand the part of the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. I was like, that makes no sense. How do I get wisdom if I don't have wisdom? I don't understand. Didn't make sense. Why? Because I was a kid and I thought I already knew everything. But some of you guys laughed. Some of you guys kind of chuckled when I said, get wisdom, because you understand that. I now understood that. When I read that, I finally understood what it meant. I now have the wisdom to ask for wisdom. I now have the wisdom to ask for understanding. I now have the wisdom to ask for knowledge and the things that I do not understand anymore in life. Here's the Hebrew definition for the word wisdom that's used in this, okay? It says the capacity to understand and so have skill in learning, implying adherence to a set standard. That's it right there. The capacity to understand and so have skill in living. That's wisdom. To have skill in living. Those are all things that we begin to learn, right? From watching. That's how kids learn. They watch by watching their parents, by watching their other peers and doing different things. My son, Benaiah, when he was growing up, we tried to teach him like sign language. Like they like to teach little kids, they like to teach them sign language. Like this means more, right? More, are you still hungry? You know, basically is what we're trying to ask them. He would never do it at home. Finally, when he went to daycare, he started doing it because everyone else was doing it, right? He understood, oh, this is a good thing to do. Okay, mom and dad aren't just crazy. Okay, I got you. All right, that's fine. All right. You know, that's sometimes how I think he looks at us, but Marcus, can you help me out this morning? Where's Marcus? Did he leave? There, Marcus. Marcus, go ahead and stand up. I'm going to have, Marcus, I placed an object in this room, okay, late yesterday, and I need you to go find it using wisdom. I'll give you a hint. It's something you have put, it's been in your hands before many times, but it does not belong in this room. It doesn't belong in this room at all. While he's doing that, I'm going to continue talking. And hopefully he uses wisdom. He's in the wrong area. You're getting cold, my man, getting cold. But we need wisdom to be able to live, right? We have wisdom just to be able to go shop, to be able to go eat, to know how to go to a cash register or, you know, the self-checkout and actually be able to do it. All right, I'm going to let you know what's in the back. It's a tool we use in youth group to bash one another with. It's soft and plushy, I promise. I think he's found it. Can you go ahead and bring that to me, Marcus? Can you do that for me? So he didn't even notice it right away. He didn't notice this object that completely stood out from this room that has never been in this room before, that does not belong in this room at all. And this is what it is. Okay, we play what we call the animal game with it, but I don't even need it this morning. I didn't give him much hint. I didn't give him a color. I didn't give him anything like that. He has to use his own skills, his own knowledge. He has to use his own eyes to be able to seek that which I've told him, which I've asked him to be able to do. Now, he could have totally asked me more questions, and I would have answered any question he would have. God, a lot of times, tells us to do something, but then we don't ask any questions. He even said it in the first part that I read. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. If he's already told you to do something, why not ask and get questions? If you need more of a definition, if you need more of an understanding of what he's talking about because you don't quite comprehend it, ask. He says to. He doesn't say, I'm going to deny you. It says, I will tell you. It says, seek and you will find it. You begin to seek for that peace that you want by getting in his presence, by getting in his word, you will find it. You want that door to be opened? You want that job that you may really need or anything like that? What do? You go to him in prayer. You ask him for it. You seek him. You knock at that door. It doesn't mean that you don't put in an application. You need to put in an application. It means you do that. It means you ask for help. If you've never put down an application or if you've never done a resume, then you ask for help with someone who has. You want a professional resume? Contact someone who can help you. There are plenty of professional peoples in this church who could help anyone do that. And they would, I bet you they would be glad to do that. But they don't know that that need's there unless you ask. They don't know. They won't know. I have another illustration for you guys this morning. And you don't have to be scared, I promise, okay? This is a drone. This is a drone my brother gave me years ago. It works pretty well. I have not used it since I moved to Wyoming because it's really windy and I'm afraid I'll never see it again. Just being honest. But it's a nice drone. Okay, this was, I think, a $400 drone. Okay, my brother just didn't use it anymore. So he's like, you want it? I'm like, sure. My brother will give me anything. I swear. But that's a drone. Don't worry, I'm not going to fly it. One, I don't have the capability to. Okay, do you see a controller anywhere for the drone? I don't. There's no controller. I can't control it. In fact, there's no battery in it. Okay? Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. But I know that. You guys up front didn't know that there was no battery in there. So if I called up someone and I was like, come work this drone, or if I had never seen it before, my brother just handed it to me with no manual, no instructions, and said, here you go, figure it out. Okay, that's going to be a little tough. Now, there's a difference. There's a couple of things that we need to be able to look for this morning that we need to ask God for, and that's earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Right, and there's a difference, and we need both in order to be able to live in this world, okay? So if I just picked up this drone, and I did find a controller for it, okay? One, the only controller for it is a smartphone. It uses an app to control it, okay? There's no physical controller other than a phone. You have to have the right app in order to be able to do it. You can't just use any one, but I know that. But if I didn't know that up front, and I just set it here, and I was like, fly, it's not going to do anything. Now, if I was like, you know what? I got faith. Let's do this. All right, I'm going to lay hands on it. Jesus! I'm sorry, but nothing's going to happen, okay? If I pick it up and I take it over here and I'm like, Bertina, lay hands on it with me. We're going to pray. Let's do this. Come on. Jesus! Okay? It's still not going to work. And I'm going to be like, man, apparently I don't have any faith. That's not true. It's not that you don't have faith. It's that you don't have the wisdom in order to know how to work the object. Okay, which means I then need to take it to someone and ask, how does this work? I've not been asking, how does it work? I think that I already have the ability to do it, when in reality, I don't. And I'm sure you guys have come across many people like that before, okay? Right, where it's just like, you have no idea what you're doing, do you? And you're just shaking your head like, I watched this one video on Facebook. Sometimes I get a little too deep into Facebook videos. And this guy was sitting in his car, and he's videotaping this lady as she's at the gas pump. And she did this like 5 times. She kept going in circles around the same gas pump, and she never figured out which side her gas pump side was actually on. Took her 6 times to get it right. Six times. I'm watching it, and I'm like, this just hurts. It just hurts. Like, she gets out of her car, and she looks at it, and she's like, oh, it's not there. It must be on the driver's side. And yet she continues. She drives the same way to the other side of the gas pump, and it doesn't help. It's still the same side. She doesn't understand that she has to, like, completely turn the car around or go to a completely different gas pump. It's not clicking. It's not there. It's a little to watch that kind of stuff. And it's just like, oh, finally this guy got out of his vehicle, and he was like, no, turn the car around. Come on, you can do it. I believe in you. And he and his wife just started like clapping outside of the car, you know, like, yeah, you did it. And I'm like, oh. Like, I'm glad you guys were very positive. That was awesome. I don't know if I could do that. I'm kidding. I could do that. But sometimes there are people who need help. They need understanding. They need wisdom in things that maybe she's just never had to do it before. Who knows? We don't understand her circumstances and where she's at. We don't know that. I don't know where anyone else is at here in this room when it comes to anything else. I don't know. But you know what? If you ask and I have the answer, I will help. I will. I am totally willing to do that. I just need to know. If I don't know, I can't help. I can guess, but then I might come across as rude sometimes, right? Trust me, I do not want to do that. I used to work at Whirlpool at the call center. Whirlpool, they're a big manufacturing brand. They actually own Maytag, Gen Air, a bunch of other companies. Trust me, you think you're not buying Whirlpool. Trust me, Gen Air's Whirlpool. It's just their higher brand. Trust me, they do all of that. They've got a lot of different things that they have. But I worked at the call center, and we all know that everything's not made the same anymore these days, right? Can anybody agree? Okay. I one time had someone call and they gave me a serial number for a washer. And I was like, okay, that pulled up nothing. Are you sure you have it right? Said it again. Yeah. Okay. It's right. It's a little weird. I've not seen this kind of serial number before. Got the model number. Same thing. Very weird. So I had to go to an older program, okay, that we rarely use to look up when this unit was made. It was like 60 years old. This washer was 60 years old, and this couple had never had a problem with it. It was like the first washer they bought when they moved into the house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing's still alive? And they're like, we've never had a problem, never had to call a serviceman before. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I've had calls after people just installed the dang thing. Okay, yeah, you're blessed, okay? Trust me. That's great. But you know what? I couldn't find anything on it. There was no manual for it because I was way before the internet. That was before it was really working and people scanned things digitally. You can't find everything out there on the internet. Not all the earthly wisdom that you may need can you find on the internet. Can you find a whole lot of it? Yeah, sure. I can change the water pump in my car now because of the internet. Probably still mess something up. I ended up scrapping the car later on. You tell me to change out the exhaust. I have no idea what I'm doing, okay, in a car. Don't ask me, right? You want me to take apart your computer? I can do that. Place the motherboard? Yeah, that's a whole different story. Can I find most of that on the internet? Yes, I can. But you know what? Even though, yeah, you can find a video on the internet, that still doesn't replace the human interaction and understanding you can have if someone's physically teaching you something. It doesn't. It's completely different. The work that I've done with my grandpa over the years, with my dad, with my uncle, trust me, I can watch a video on digging a hole, but having to physically do it's completely different, okay? Completely different. You can watch that all day long. Yeah, that looks pretty easy. It ain't easy when it's negative 10 out and you're in a crawl space because you're the only one who can fit in there and you've got to dig 20 feet down. It's been snowing for 3 months. It's a little difficult, okay? My uncle actually called me to do that because no one else could fit through the hole. I got paid for it, though. Now, godly wisdom, okay, comes in many different shapes and sizes, right? We've got Paul in the Bible who had a lot of wisdom, right? He really knew the word of God, and man, did he love Jesus. Man, did he love Jesus. Here's something that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, and it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." You want to have godly wisdom? Know God better. That's my point number two for you. Use wisdom to know God better. The wisdom that you already have about him, get more. The understanding you know about God, get more. The more knowledge you have about God, get more, because there's more. Because the Bible speaks to you differently based on where you're at in your life, based on the struggles and the challenges that you're facing, because they can be used multiple times in multiple different situations for multiple things. We should not stop praying for wisdom. We should not stop praying to know him better. Because here's the thing. When we know God better, the closer we are. We prayed for the election. We prayed for the church to be together, to be one. How does that happen? That doesn't just happen through that. That happens by each and every single individual person here in this room knowing God better. Because when you know him better and I know him better, and we're both looking at the same thing, then we're both in agreement. We're both looking to Jesus. We're both looking in his word. We're reading the same thing. We're praying for the same things to happen. That's when we're one. That's when we together as the church can truly make a difference. It's when we know him better. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4 says this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of others. If we are to be of one mind, if we are to be one body, if we are to be one church, then we need to have that same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit." This morning you heard a message in tongues, and you heard an interpretation of tongues. That is for the church. That is to edify the church body. That is to strengthen us. That is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is just two of the many that the Holy Spirit gives us to be able to use and to work and to do for all of us. And it says it's for the work of the ministry, but we all have the ministry. We are all called to reach the lost. We are all called to do the same. People need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear his love. They need to hear who he truly is. While some struggle with it, and many do, that does not mean that we do not stop. Here's another part of wisdom that I just want to briefly share with you guys. Acts 28, verses 3 through 6. And to me, this really applies to right now with what's going on with the election and everything that might happen and how we can have peace in such a situation. This doesn't quite say it, but this is about Paul. It says, Paul was just in an accident. He was in a boat accident, okay? And he's on his way to Rome to be tried. He's been arrested and he's been shipwrecked. And here he is. So they're building a fire, okay? It says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. And as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. This is one insane story to me, okay? For a couple of reasons. You don't see Paul, nowhere in this story does it say that he freaked out. Nowhere does it say that he became uncontrollable, that he became hysterical, that he started crying. None of that. That might have been me. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. I saw a dead snake one time. I didn't know it was dead. I was just out for a walk. I had headphones in, okay, when I was in Washington, which is a dry desert area within the part that I lived in Washington. Okay, didn't have the great trees. And I looked down, and I'm like, oh, snap. Trust me, I went 10 feet real quick. Okay, went 10 feet real quick. And then I took my headphones out so I could see if I could hear it. Didn't hear anything, and I like slowly crept back this way. I was like, what's going on? I was like, oh, okay, it's dead. All right, that's cool. Whew. Trust me, I got out of there in a hurry, okay? There's a reason why I don't want to live in Florida, because I see all the different things where snakes are hiding in boxes and tarantulas getting in your shoes, and I'm like, I can't deal with it, okay? I can't deal with it, all right? I lived in Michigan for a reason, because it got cold, okay? Just like it does here. But Paul continued to live there. He didn't freak out. He lived there for, once they came and got him, he lived in a house under guard for 2 years. Before the story ends there. And he continued to write many letters after that. This is what I find interesting. Is why did he not freak out? That's my question. Why? It's like, I don't get it. I never understood it. Till now. I believe that because he had a better understanding of God, because he had a closeness and an intimacy with God that many people didn't have, he knew that his end was not to be at that moment. He knew something that someone else didn't. He knew something that the Bible isn't telling us, because he had a closeness with God that I currently don't have, but I really want to have. Because I want to know when I'm ready, all right, let's make it happen. But I want to know that if in such a situation, in such a time as this, it's not supposed to happen, then I'd love to be able to shake off a viper and throw it back into the fire and say, what up? Okay, that's what I would do. Okay, Paul doesn't do that. It's a little different in age. Okay, that's just work with me here. That's me. But sometimes we don't always know those things. But Paul, man, he had a closeness with Christ. He was always talking about, man, I can't wait to be with Jesus. Jesus, you can take me now, but I already know you're not going to, because you got a job for me to do here on earth. He knew his purpose. He knew his goal passionately, crazily. He knew it, and he was going to fight for it. Here's my third point for you this morning. And it says, ask God to teach you how to help others. Psalms chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Psalms 84, 11 through 12 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." We ask for wisdom. We get that closeness with God, and he brings us favor. He brings us strength. He gives us understanding in all situations, and he gives us peace. But it's not just meant to be for us. Not just for us. It's for those who don't have his peace. Our favor is to be able to walk into a room with those who don't know Christ and be able to speak into their lives, and they're just awestruck at what God has to say to them. Another thing that God gives us through his gifts, through the Holy Spirit, one of them is, it's one generally God has quite used me in often, is words of knowledge. Word of knowledge is when God gives you an understanding. He gives you some sort of information about a person that there's no way you would already know that. No way that you could tell by walking into that room, by meeting that person for the first time, and be able to know the hardships that they've had in their life, or the pain that they've gone through, or the person that they've lost in their life, and be able to speak to them and share with them what God wants to share with them in that moment, and be able to tell them that God loves them. I've done it with youth before. I did it here when we did our mini youth camp with them. And sometimes it happens. You can have a student who's sitting front row, who loves to sit front row, who's always smiling and looking great. I couldn't even tell physically, could not tell my own person. And then the Lord told me that one right there. And I said, okay. And I just began to speak. Person had a heartache in their heart that no one else knew about. Not mom, not dad, not sister, not brother. And I spoke to it and I said, God hears you. God hears you. Don't stop. Ask for peace, but he hears you. That's there for a reason. He's allowing that there for a reason. We need wisdom right now on how to be able to talk to the lost. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of distrust. I've been watching a lot of Rabbi Zacharias. If you don't know who he is, go ahead and look him up. He's a fantastic guy. He speaks all the time, and sometimes it's hard to understand his message because he's got a great vocabulary. But something that he shared one time was very simple. He said, don't just listen to the question of what someone asks you. He said, listen to their heart. Why are they asking that question? And answer the heart. Don't just answer the question. Answer the question, but answer the heart. So when someone asks you why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Question my brother often asked before he came to Jesus was, you know, he had a friend who, a single mom, on their way to school, take his daughter to school, and a drunk driver hit them and they both died. That broke his heart. He was close with her, close with the kid, watched them before. He just didn't understand it. It just didn't make any sense. I couldn't answer his question at the time. I was a senior. I was a senior in high school. I couldn't answer his question. But those things happen. We live in an imperfect world. How can you expect a perfect God to be able to undo every evil in the world and still allow us to live? How can you presume that you inherently are good when you ultimately always make bad choices, when you ultimately always make mistakes? How can we assume that we should be allowed to live because we have a different standard than God does? People don't want to understand the holiness of God and being able to be impartial in any moment. Does God love us? Absolutely. But until you accept that free gift, he still has to judge. Until you repent from your sin, he still has to judge the earth. He still has to judge the nations just as he always does, just as he always has. Now, since Christ, I believe he's lifted a little. Has he still given favor to many and to nations, especially those who watch over Israel? I do believe that. But it's different. It's different. Because there's a time, you can see it all through Revelation, where he has to begin to lift his hand. He has to allow evil to be able to happen so he can judge. Jeremiah I love Jeremiah. No one listened to Jeremiah in the Bible. The Israelites didn't like him. It's a huge thing. One time he's praying, and God said, I need you to stop praying so I can judge Israel because you're holding me back. I need you to stop. You need to stop praying, stop fasting. I need to do my work. They need to be judged. I need you to stop. God hears us. Yes, he does. But God has to do what he says he's got to do. He's already laid it out in his law. He's already laid it out for all of us. There's a judgment that has to happen, and there's only one judgment for sin. There's only one consequence. There is no jail. There is no, oh, go ahead and spend your time and you can get out. We don't have that same standard as he does. The consequences for sin is death, and there is nothing else. When we really put that into perspective, we really know what this world needs. People are looking for hope right now, and they can't see it. And they need to see it through us. They need to see it through his love. We need to have that wisdom to know how to be able to answer those kind of questions that are in someone's heart who doesn't quite understand because they've got pain there, because they've got hurt, because they've got questions and understanding and things. Why did people do this to me? Why me? Why this? Why that? It's just because of the world we live in. Because people make bad choices. Because there's evil in people's hearts. And sometimes that's hard to hear. But as long as we continue to repent for our own sins, and we continue to let know about Jesus, then we are doing what God has asked us to do. Romans 12, 3 through 5 says this, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Each of us have different gifts, talents that God has given us. And we each need to be able to use them to be able to reach this city of Casper. And some of you are already doing it. You guys are fantastic. Trust me, you guys really are. You guys are amazing. Just the love and the encouragement that me and my wife received from Pastor Appreciation was astounding. One of the best things that I had received was actually prior to a Pastor Appreciation from our dessert auction, the spaghetti dinner that we did for Speed of Light. There was an object. There was a dessert. I really wanted it, okay? But I wasn't quite ready. It was going really high, okay? And I didn't get it, but it was a student who made it, and this student decided to make me my own dessert of it and brought it to me on a Wednesday night afterwards. And trust me, I was so ecstatic. I was so blessed because, one, I didn't ask for it. I didn't beg for it. I didn't joke around for it. I didn't do any of that. And yet, the person, out of their own kindness, out of their own love in their own heart, decided to do that for me, and I was blown away. Those are the kind of things that we need to be able to continue to do. People don't just need to be told that they're wrong. Sometimes they just need a little bit of love. Sometimes the lost just need to know that God actually cares, and not just by words, but by physically. And that's why we do the food pantry here, right? Out of the love and the kindness in our own hearts. Maybe you can't give towards the food pantry, but maybe you can give your time. Maybe you can give your energy. Even if it's just a once a month. Maybe you've got lots of skills and a lot of understanding about many different things, and you could help out with Royal Rangers, right? Or Impact Girls, whatever it might be. Or helping with the youth with whatever you can. Because right now, they need some wisdom. I don't have all the wisdom, I promise you. Some of the best wisdom I've gotten is from my grandparents. From my senior pastors who are in their 70s, who are doing absolutely amazing. And I'm like, yeah, you know something. You're still here. I'm doing ministry for like 50 years. Yeah, this is awesome. They've got wisdom. you guys have wisdom. And don't act like you don't. Because I know you do. I've talked with some of you and I'm like, oh, dang, you smart. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. Go ahead and stand with me. There's one last scripture I want to read for you guys this morning. And it's John chapter 12, verse 23 through 29. It says this. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say?" This is key here. "Father, save me from this hour." "No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. This is Jesus. This is our Jesus right here. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of pain, in the midst of chaos, he said, "What shall I do? Ask my Father to release me from this, to get me away from this?" He said, "No. No. But for this very reason, I came for this hour." Jesus came at the hardest time, praying at the garden, doing all these things. Even asked, "Father, if you can, if it's at least possible, take this cup from me." He said, "But in the end, let your will be done." This is what I strive for. Is that in the midst of pain, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of the hardest thing that I'll ever go through, that I will always say, "But Lord, let your will be done in this moment. Lord, use me for your glory." If I must continually die to myself and my personal wants, desires, and needs, then I will do so for the kingdom of God, for his glory, because he has already done it. Why should I not do it again? Why should I not do it for him? That's our Jesus. He gave his life for us. That's the gospel. Not that he didn't just give his life, but that he raised from the dead, that he has the power over sin and death to be able to save us from our sins and to be able to do anything that he wants to be able to do this morning. I'm going to pray this morning. We're going to pray again afterwards. And they're going to do a song, but I want you guys to ask the Lord for wisdom this morning. Our prayer team is going to come forward, and if you need wisdom, prayer team, you guys can go ahead and come up if you want. If you need wisdom and you want someone else to pray with you, you can come forward and they'll pray with you. Ask for wisdom. Ask for a closeness with God this morning. Just allow him to speak into your life this morning to be able to guide you and to strengthen you in a way he's never done it before. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for each and every single person here. I ask that you would touch them. Lord, that you would give each and every single person wisdom beyond their years, earthly and godly wisdom right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would speak to this congregation. You'd speak to us as individuals, and you would draw us closer to you as one body, as one church, closer through your spirit, Lord. So Lord, love on us right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.